morning. Thank you very much for joining. Today's daf is Daf Vav here in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. We are in the midst of the topic of Baal Ta'acher, the prohibition of not delaying fulfilling vows, oaths, obligations, dedications, consecrations, charitable donations, not delaying the fulfillment of pledges to those that we are supposed to give once we've made a promise or we have an obligation to bring a karban. So one of the things that we had learned in a brisa, the brisa said, the verse says about Baal Ta'acher, Ki Sidor Neder LaHashem Elokecha, when you make a vow to Hashem your God, Lo Sa'acher LeShalmo, don't be late in paying it. Ki Daroshi Drishenu Hashem Elokecha Me'imach, because Hashem your God will demand it from you. V'haya V'chachet, and there will be in you a sin. So that the Brisa interpreted, V'haya V'chachet, V'lo B'karbanecha Chet. There'll be in you a sin, but not in your sacrifice a sin. If you're late with the animal, you had dedicated the animal as an ola, and you waited a year before you brought it, you had a sin. But the animal does not get disqualified. The animal can still be brought. The animal doesn't get ruined because of your sin. Ask the Gemara, is this the source for that? V'ha mehacha nafka, we are on Hamid Bays. On Hamid Bays at the very bottom. The Gemara had asked, is this the source? Is the source that the animal's not disqualified? The words Vaya Bachachet. We looked in a brisa that Acherim say, maybe a Bechor, once it you have it sit and it grew past a year, it'll be disqualified like a blemished animal. That's why the verse says about Bechor, and you are to eat before Hashem your God, where He chooses to put His name, the maaser, the tithes of your produce, and the Bechor of your cattle and sheep. So it compares Bechor to maaser. So just like maaser, even if you were late with maaser, you could even take the maaser of last year and eat it this year in Yerushalayim. The same is true with Bechor. So my answer is Itzrich. We needed both Psukim. We need a Pasuk about Bechor generally. And we need the Pasuk about Baal Ta'acher, that whenever there's a violation of waiting with something, the item itself doesn't get disqualified. Because I would have thought from Baal Ta'acher, that's only about items that create atonement, items that are a present, but Bechor is a different type of a karban. Bechor is not for ritzui. It doesn't create atonement. It's not because of a sin that the firstborn is now offered to God. And it's not a gift. It's not like an ola, which is a gift. So therefore, I need a special pasuk that even in Bechor, which doesn't have these concepts.
How old is the Bechor?
8 days. It has to be 8 days old.
8 days old.
Yeah, like all karbanos, 8 days old. But if I would have only had Bechor, I would have said Bechor doesn't get disqualified because it doesn't have, it's not a meratzeh. It's not something which creates good feeling. It's not something to create atonement. That's if I would only have had Bechor. So that's when you'd have a special pasuk that in regards to all karbanos, if you relate with them, the animal does not get disqualified, even though it's supposed to create good feeling. But the fact that it was late doesn't mean that it can't create the good feeling. That's why I needed both psukim. So now on the very last word on Hayamid Beis, ask the Gemara. Vakati, ask the Gemara, but still, now we don't need this pasuk in regards to Baal Ta'acher. V'haya b'chachet, if you do the sin of making it sit, there'll be a sin in you, not a sin in your sacrifice. We don't need that pasuk because now starting today's daf, Vav Mud Aleph, Nida Ben Azai Nafka. That we learn already from Ben Azai. But as I already taught us, that a sacrifice that wasn't brought in a timely way does not become disqualified. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa. Benazai Omer, Benazai explains, the Pasuk says, in regards to Pigel. Pigel is where a Kohen had a thought that he was either going to throw it into the fires of the Mizbeach or eat the meat of the sacrifice late. He's going to eat it 3 days from now, a week from now. So then the carbon becomes contaminated. And it's no good. So Benazai says, the Pasuk says over there, V'im he'achol yo'achel mi'psar zevach shlamim v'yom ha'shlishi lo yiratzeh, ha'makriv oso lo yechashev lo, pigul yiyeh, v'anefesh ha'chelos mimena avona tisa. So the Pasuk says, such a sacrifice is not acceptable. One who brings it, ha'makriv oso, one who brings it, lo yechashev lo, the sacrifice won't count for anything for him. Pigulu, it's contaminated. The one who eats it gets a sin. So again, Benazai says, we learned in the Braisa, Benazai Omer, oso matam olom. What does it say in regards to the pigul? Hamakriv oso, one who brings it. One who brings it, it doesn't count for him. Just say, one who brings. Why one who brings it? Why the word oso? Why was the word oso added? The answer is Lefisha Namar, because we have another pasuk, Lo Sa'achir Lashalma. Whenever you have an obligation to bring in a sacrifice, whether it be an Ola, a Shlamim, a Chatas, an Asham, even a donation to Tzedakah, the Torah says don't be late to pay it. Shomayani, yeah, I might have heard from that, Af Ma'achir Nidro, that somebody who was late with his sacrifice, in other words, he promised he's going to bring a sacrifice, and then he was late with it, he didn't do that. So now the animal maybe gets disqualified. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says about Pigel. Hamakriv oso lo yechashev. One who brings it, the Pigel, that's not acceptable anymore. However, it is not acceptable. Also below Yeratza, it's the one where the animal itself, the sacrifice itself, gets disqualified. Ve'in ma'achar nidro below Yeratza. But if somebody is late in redeeming his pledge, okay, so he was late, but the sacrifice is not disqualified. It's still acceptable. So if that's the case, I don't need this verse, right? We were saying in the Braisa, Vaya b'chachet. There'll be a newer sin that teaches a newer sin, but not in your animal a sin. But here we have another source that the animal doesn't get disqualified. Pigel gets disqualified to teach us that nothing else. It says, oh, so lo yechashev. It is the one that's not acceptable. Other things are acceptable. A bal ta'acher violation is acceptable. At the end, the animal gets still offered. So Gemara says, okay, so we're going to reject that. Ella, we have to say like this. When it says in regards to bal ta'acher, it means if you're going to be late in redeeming your pledge, there'll be a new sin. But there won't be a sin to your wife. Your wife is not going to be punished because of your delay in offering the sacrifice. If you're slow in redeeming your pledge, that's not going to hurt your wife. Why would I think it would hurt a person's wife? Answers the Gemara. Sal kadat hachanina. I would have thought to say, Horil v'amar Rabbi Yochanan v'item Rabbi Elazar, since Rabbi Yochanan said, and if you wanted to say, it was Rabbi Elazar who said it, in ishto shel adam mesa, Elohim came evachim menu mamon ve'ein lo. A person's wife dies for one reason, and that is that he stole money. And when they ask for the money back, he doesn't have it to pay back. So he never pays back what he stole. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, im ein lecha l'shalem, if you don't have to pay back, lama yikach mishkavcha mitachtecha, why should he take the one who lays with you from beneath you? So if you don't have to pay back, the one who lays with you will be taken from you. Your wife will never be killed if a person doesn't have to pay back. If a person stole, he should be paying back. And he said, well, I'm sorry, I spent the money already. So his wife is going to die as a punishment. So that's a pasuk in Mishlei. So Amy, I would have thought to say, "B'hai avon debal ta'achar nami ishto mesa." So that's true when the person is asking for the money back from the thief. So you might have thought to say the same should be true with this sin of a person not redeeming a pledge. Here God is asking for it. God is saying, you promised me the Ola, you promised me the Shlamim, give it. And a guy's delaying and delaying, so maybe that's the same thing. His wife will die as a punishment. Kamashma, that's the Chiddush that not. Vaya b'chachet, there'll be in you in the delayer a sin, but there won't be a sin in the wife of the delayer. The guy who delays and doesn't fulfill his pledge, he's going to die. I'm not saying he's going to die, he's not going to die. He has a sin. His wife, though, doesn't have ramifications of this behavior. That's not going to harm her. The fact that he was late in bringing the karban, that's not going to harm her. In other words, if he redeems his pledge, but he redeems it late, that's not going to harm her. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, Milton Abraisa. Now a new pasuk. This is in regards to Nedarim, Parshas Matos. Actually, it's not in Parshas Matos, but it's about Nedarim. The pasuk says, Motzas Vasecha Tishmor. Motzas Vasecha. What comes out of your lips, watch it. Make sure that it's fulfilled. And you are to do as you promised to Hashem your God. Nidava asher dibarta beficha. The pledge that you spoke with your mouth. Okay, so there's a pasuk here that when you make a promise of a karban, we know there are two types of karbanos. There's the neder karban, which is on me is incumbent an obligation to do. That's what the person said, on me is incumbent an obligation to do. And then there's the nidava, where in the initial dedication, he already specified what he's dedicating. He didn't just say, I will bring a karban. He said, this animal is the karban. So that's another type of dedication. So Tanur Rabbanan Din Braisa. The pasuk says, Motzas Vasecha, what comes out of your lips. So the Gemara darshins this way, Zumitzvah Sase. That's really a positive mitzvah. Positive mitzvah. The Torah says, Motzas Vasecha, what comes out of your lips. It's basically saying, without even saying that, it's saying, Motzas Vasecha Kayem, what comes out of your lips, fulfill. So that's a positive mitzvah. Then it says the word Tishmar. Tishmar, we know, is a prohibition. So mitzvah slotase, that's a prohibition. It's a violation if you don't fulfill it. Because whatever it says, Hishamer or Pen, it's a lav, it's a prohibition. Then the asisa, you shall fulfill it. So why say again, you shall do it? Already said, motzas vasecha, which we interpreted meant that you have to do with the mitzvah sasei. And tishma means that there's a los sasei if you didn't do. So why say again, the asisa, you are to do it? That's a new idea. As Hara Lebezdin, this is a warning to the court, to the community, shaya asucha, that they should force you to do it. That if you promise to bring a sacrifice, and you're delaying, they are to force you to do it. They are to coerce you to do it. Then the verse says, Kasher Nadarta, the way you promised, Zeneder, that if you made a Neder obligation, namely you said, Hare Allah, on me is incumbent, you have to do it. It's a mitzvah say to do it. It's a prohibition if you don't do it. That's that will force you to do it. Then when it says, L'Hashem Elokecha, for Hashem your God, that's a reference to Elu Chatos V'Hashamos. That's a reference to a sin offering, or a guilt offering, Olos, a scent offering of Olas Re'iyah, or Shlamim. You have to fulfill those things. Then when it says, Nedava, Kimashmo, a pledge means a Nedava, where he said, this is dedicated. Then when the verse says, Asher Divarta, that you spoke, Elu Kachivera Kabayas, that's a reference to when you spoke and dedicated an item for the temple trust. And then when it says, Bificha, in your mouth, it's an extra word. That's a reference to tzedakah. So tzedakah, the guy who pledged to give tzedakah to the poor, he has to fulfill it in a timely way from this mitzvah saseh and this mitzvah lo saseh. Amar Mar, we just learned, motzas vasecha, it comes out of your lips, zo mitzvah saseh, that's a positive mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, lamali, why do I need this mitzvah saseh, motzas vasecha? We had earlier, the last few days, a different mitzvah saseh. The verse says, uvasa shama, who come up to Yerushalayim, and the next verse is, v'aveisam shama, when you come to Yerushalayim, you should bring there your karbanos. So that's the mitzvah saseh, to bring it right away. Miuvasa shama, v'aveisam shama nafka. All right, then the Brisa goes on to say, tishmar, when it says, mitzvah saseh, tishmar, the word tishmar, so mitzvah slo saseh, that's a prohibition, you better keep it, you can't violate it. When you made a vow, you made it, better do it on time. Lovely, what do I need that prohibition for? We have the verse that we've been discussing for the last several days. The Torah says, Lo tachir l'shalmo, don't be late in redeeming your obligations. Then we had this price that said, V'asisa, that is an extra word, and you are to do it. That's to teach you Azhar Lebez, then that's a warning to the court, to the community, Shiyasucha, they should force you to do it. Lamali, why do I need that verse for that? We can learn from another verse, Mi'akriv oso nafka. We can learn from the verse where the Torah says, Yakriv oso. You should bring it. The verse says, "O love karbanomen abakar zachar tamim yakivenu el pesach oel moed yakrivoso." So it repeats twice. If he has an ola, he should bring it to the entrance of the oel moed. He should bring it. The time when the rabbi says yakrivoso, why does it say for the second time he should bring it? Well, lami, that's to say a new idea. Shakofen oso, you'll bring him. Sometimes the court will force him. Yachol bal karcho, can the court really force him against his will? He says, "I don't want to bring the sacrifice." They're going to beat him up and drag him to bring the sacrifice. Tamaloma, the verse says, to teach you that that's not the case. So no, it has to be to his will. Okay, so how does it work? Kofen oso, they beat him up. Achiyoma rotsani, they beat him up until he wants to do it. They beat him up until he says, yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it. And then he does it. So why do I need the verse of Yakrivenu to, right, why do we see, I'm sorry, why do we need the verse of the Asisa? Right, most sasecha tishmar v'asisa kashen adarta. The word v'asisa, which we said is teaching us that the court yasucha, the court will force you to bring your sacrifice. We have another word that teaches you that the court will force a person yakrivoso. The court will force him until he says he wants to do it. Says the Gemara, we need two verses. Chad amar v'lo afresh. One is when a person made a pledge and he hasn't yet dedicated the sacrifice. He said it, but he hasn't yet dedicated the sacrifice. V'chad, in the other verse, is sha'afrish. He did dedicate the sacrifice, but below akriv, but he hasn't brought it. So we have one verse to say that if he said he's going to bring a sacrifice, he hasn't even said this animal is the sacrifice, that he's violated an asay, he's violated a lav, the court will force him. I have another verse that if he said he's promising to bring a sacrifice, and then he made an animal and said this is the sacrifice to fulfill my promise, but then he didn't actually bring it to Yerushalayim, there's a violation of an asay, there's a violation of a lav, and the court will force him to bring it to Yerushalayim. The tzricha, we need two sets of sources. D'yesh mi'inan, amar v'lo afish, if we would have only had this verse that we are now quoting, Motzas Vasecha, Tishmar, and V'asisa, which is where a person promised, but he hasn't even dedicated the animal. I would say, Mishum v'lo kaim l'dibure, because he hasn't fulfilled his word, that's why there's a violation, and that's why the court will force him. Aval afish v'lo akriv, but when he made an animal the ola or the shlum that he promised, but he just hasn't brought it. A moment of thought to say, Kalecha the Ise, wherever this animal is actually located, Begaza the Rahmana Ise, it's already in the domain of the Almighty. And so he has given it. That's in a separate pasuk. No, it's not enough that it's in the domain of the Almighty, you have to actually bring it to Yerushalayim. Tzricha, that's what I have to tell you, the second pasuk. Yes, if we'd only had the psukim of Balta Acher and Uvasa Shama Vavesim Shama, and the Pasuk of Yaakov Oso, which refers to when a person has dedicated the animal but not yet brought it. Let's say the Kamashi Legabe, yeah, then there's a prohibition, there's an assay, he gets punished because he's leaving it with himself, and that's not right. Aval Amar Vlo Afish, but if he just said, and he hasn't yet dedicated it, when I might have thought to say words don't mean anything. He just said some words. He's not in violation. We're not going to beat him up because of words. That's why we need this verse as well. Ask the Gemara, Mi Matzis Amrit, can you really say that he said he made a promise and he hasn't yet dedicated the animal? But one of the things that are mentioned here in this verse is Nedava, a pledge. Which is not really like the Mishnah in Megillah. Is there a neder? What is neder? Ha'omer harei alai ola. Someone who says, on me is incumbent to bring an ola. So he put it on himself. Ezoi nedava, but what is nedava? Nedava is ha'omer, one who says in the pledge, harei zu ola, harei zu ola. Behold, this item is the ola. So you can't say that this verse you can't say that that verse is referring to a man who makes pledges and he hasn't yet dedicated the item. Because one of the things mentioned in this verse is nedava, and nedava is where you dedicate the item right away. What's the difference between a neder and a nedava? Neder, where he said he's going on him as incumbent to bring a carbon. If he then dedicates an animal as that neder, then the animal dies, maize, or nignam, where that animal is stolen, chayabach reyuso, he's responsible for it, he has to replace it. Nedava, but if he made a carbon holy with a nedava pledge, he said, harei zu ola, behold, this is an ola. So, maize, or nignava, if that animal dies, or it's stolen, that's it. Eino chayabach reyuso, he's not responsible for it. So, Amar Rava, Rava said an interesting thing. Meshkach hasla, the nedava that's referenced in this pasuk, where the pasuk says, "Moses v'sechal tishmar v'asisakash nadarta l'Hashem lokecha." Nedava should be barter b'ficha. The nedava that's mentioned here is where he did the following. Again, the whole pasuk was talking about a guy who made a pledge and he hasn't yet dedicated an animal for the pledge. Kegon da'amar. The nedava part is also where it was a pledge. He said, "Hare alai ola, on me is incumbent an ola, but almanas, but on condition." That once I make the animal, this ola, eini chayav b'achriyusa, I'm not responsible to replace it if something happens to it. So when you have a carbon obligation that you're not responsible to replace, that's already called nedava, even though you haven't yet dedicated which animal it is. And that's what the verse is referring to. The whole verse is referring to verbal pledges where there's been no follow through at all. There's been no action. It's just been verbal pledges. And it's saying that there's an assay, there's a lav. The court will force you. But it's not talking about
the
nedava.
The
punishment is that in heaven a person has another sin. So, for those keeping score, he should be buried. No, there's no lashes because there's no action. There's only lashes if a person does an act which is a violation, which goes against the will of heaven. But for those keeping score, he gets buried in the section of the cemetery with people with more sins than the people with less sins.
You know, I still think it's not fair. Somebody does something wrong and has some kind of sin. Okay? You take an animal to clean up the sin. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to me still, Rabbi.
So the Ramban explains that the animal is really a lesson to the person. It's an inspiration to get him to regret and to do tshuva, to say, this animal was living and now it lost its life. I should have lost my life because of my sin. So Hashem hasn't taken my life. I want to make it better. I want to change it. I want to become somebody who's forgiven and to do tshuva, to make a real commitment to change oneself.
Well, I don't understand why the animal has to pay for his sin,
The animal's happy about this. This is the animal. What would the animal prefer? To be a carbon on the Mizbeach or a steak in my stomach? I'd rather be a carbon on the Mizbeach. It gets close to Hashem. And this gets used for a great service to accomplish a great thing. But going back to this brisa, the brisa ends off by saying the verse that said, Motzas Vasecha, which is an asay, then Tishmar is a los asay. Motzas Vasecha Tishmar. And then it says, the asisa, that's to tell you that Bezin can force you, Kasher Nadarta for the Nadarim. And then, Lashem Elokecha for the Karbanos, Nadava, the pledges. And, Asher Dibartas, Kache Berekabayas, the consecration. Then it says, Beficha, the last word in that pasuk is Beficha. That's to say that these rules apply to Tzedakah. So in Tzedakah also, you have to fulfill it with an asay. If you delay in fulfilling it, there's a prohibition. Bezdin, if you made a pledge and you haven't paid it, Bezdin will force you to pay it. Amar Rava, Rava said, Utsdaka, but in regards to Tzedaka, Michayev Allah la'altar. One is obligated with Tzedaka right away. With Tzedaka, one is obligated right away. My time, what's the reason? Because you have poor people around. So in regards to tzedakah, even though in general with Baal Ta'acher, it takes time to violate Baal Ta'acher. One festival has to go by, two festivals have to go by according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, three festivals have to go by according to the Tanna Kamma, three festivals have to go by in their order according to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the holiday of Sukkot has to go by. That's true about a karban. But about tzedakah, a man who made a pledge to give tzedakah and he doesn't do it, right away he's already in violation. Why? The festivals is because that's when you're able to do it. Right? A karban, you live in tzat. So when are you going to be able to bring a karban? When you're in Yerushalayim. When are you going to be in Yerushalayim? The festivals. So there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So when it's able to do it and you didn't do it, hey, you were late. Baal Ta'acher, don't be late. But in tzedakah, you're able to do it right away because there are always poor people around. There are always poor people. So you made a pledge for tzedakah, you should do it right away. Yeah, yeah, question.
Just as poor people.
Yes.
So tzedakah
in
the
Gemara
can't be
referring
to giving to a school or a building.
Well, I think in a school, oftentimes, they are poor people. Certainly a kollel, they're very poor. Or a lot of the schools, the rebbeim, are quite poor.
Building a new shul or something like that.
So building a new shul is not included in tzedakah. That's what we actually discussed the other day. But that's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Radbaz. The Rambam says that for a shul also, you have Baal Ta'acher, if you pledge to give money for the lights of the shul, the Rambam's example. The Radbaz's example. But the Radbaz says no. The Gemara goes through each thing. Each thing has a word. Word for this, a word for that. There's no word here for Beis HaKnesses. The Radbaz says no. A pledge to the shul does not have Baal Ta'acher. Okay, so again, in tzedakah, b'fichas utzedakah, my Rav says, utzedakah, mechayev alala alter. Utzedakah, you're obligated about it right away. My time of why? To akai ma'anim, because the poor people are in front of you. So Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Answer the Gemara, ma'adatim, we're thought to say, kivin the minyan of the karbanos k'siva. Since tzedakah was mentioned in these psukim about karbanos. And with the karbanos, we know it's the festivals that are the term. So maybe ad avi Allah, shol shugalim ke karbanos, maybe also with tzedakah, you have to have the three festivals go over you, like the karbanos. Kamashman, that's the chiddush that not. There, Hashem makes it dependent on the festivals because it's karbanos. But here, not with tzedakah, it's not dependent on the festivals. Because you have poor people around all the time. All right. Amar Rava, Rava said, going back to karbanos, we said that Baal Ta'acher you violate once you've dedicated the animal and three festivals have gone by and you haven't yet delivered it. Rava said, but once you had one festival go over you and you don't deliver it, over Baaseh, you violated the mitzvah Saseh of Uvasa Shama Vavesam Shama. Says the Gemara Meis, I'll challenge you. Didn't we learn? Hey, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Pius, Al Vlad Shlamin, they once testified about a child of a Karban Shlamin. Sheikari Shlamin. It should be brought as a Shlamin. I'm Rabbi Pius, Ani Meir, I'll testify that that's the case. We had a cow that we had dedicated as a shlamim, and it gave birth. We ate the cow itself on Pesach. We ate its child as a shlamim. During Sukkot. Now, I understand. They didn't bring this child as a shlam on Pesach. Im de mechus zman haben, because maybe he wasn't yet 8 days old. Maybe he was born on Cholamoid Pesach, and an animal has to be 8 days old to be brought as a carbon. Elav lada batzares, hechi mashlu v'avri lada batzay. But if you're going to tell me that there's a mitzvah to say, once you have one festival go by you, how could they have waited with this child till Sukkot? The child was born already Pesach time, because the animal was, the mother was already dead by Pesach. So clearly the child was born Pesach time. So if there's a mitzvah to say, how could they have violated the positive command of do it right away, do it for the first festival? It's not such a problem. Kigon. Now turning to Vavim Beis. Maybe this child was sick on Shavuos. And an animal that's sick, you can't bring as a carbon. So since you couldn't bring it as a carbon, there's no violation of the mitzvah say. You should have brought it right away. You couldn't. So then they brought it on Sukkos. Rashi said, what does the Mishnah mean over there? Where it says, and we ate its child as a shlam during Sukkos? It's not Sukkos. It's Chag. Chag means the holiday. Chag of Shavuos, the holiday of Shavuos. Now Rav Zud, who didn't give that answer, he'll tell you that's not true. Pesach, if we said Pesach, we're not going to call Shavuos Chag, we'll call Shavuos Atzeres, Tani Atzeres. Amar Rava said, okay, when Shavu Olav Shlosha Regalim, once these three festivals have gone by, and the person has yet to bring their carbon, so then, B'chol Yom V'Yom over B'Val Ta'acher, every day passed, he violates Baal Ta'acher again. So the three festivals went by, he didn't bring his carbon. Now every day is another sin of Baal Ta'acher. Every day is another sin. You're being late. You're being late. Says the Gemara, is that really true? Meisvi, I'll challenge you, Rava. We learned, Echad Bechor, whether it's Bechor, Echad Kalakachim, or all other carbonos, Kevun Shavra Lehem Shana, below Regal. Once they had a whole year go by, and it wasn't the three festivals. Or the regal of the three festivals, below Shana, without a year, over Baal Ta'acher. It's a violation of Baal Ta'acher. So the Gemara says, I understand. Why am I Tiyufta? What's the question here? Where's the contradiction to what Rava said? So I'm Rav Kahana explained, Manda Kamosav, Shabbat Kamosav. The one who's asking was asking a very good question. Mechti Tana Lavi Kamahadra. The Tana's point is to try to say, well, this is a very strict thing. You can get into trouble. Even if it wasn't a year, just the three festivals, you're already into trouble. So then if he wants to say it's a very strict thing, make sure to redeem your pledges, listen, he should say also, B'chol Yom V'Yom over B'Val Ta'achek. If you got into trouble, you let it go three festivals without bringing your sacrifice, now every day is a new sin. V'idach, the Rav will tell you, Tana Mikvah B'Lav Kamahadin. Yeah, the Tana is saying, it's very sort of easy, relatively, to be in violation. The three festivals could be enough to make you in violation. A year without the three festivals could make you in violation. But that's in terms of to establish the violation. But many violations that he wasn't looking to do. Gufa, let's talk about that, Bryson. Interesting idea. Echad Bechor, both Bechor, Echad Kol HaKarbanos, or Kol HaKachim, or all the other sacrifices. Kevan Sha'avra Alei and Shana below Regalim. If there was a year that went by without the three festivals, or Regalim below Shana, or the three festivals without being a year, over B'Val Ta'acher, violates B'Val Ta'acher. You violated B'Val Ta'acher, you didn't give it early enough. I understand. Bishma Regalim below Shana Mishkachas. Okay, you can have the three festivals without it yet being 12 months. That's easy. A guy made a pledge before Pesach. So Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, it's about 6 months. Fine, 6 months without being 12 months. What's that? How do you have a year without festivals? Exactly. Right. Ella, Shana below Regalim, but to have a year that a guy had a whole year go by and he didn't have any festivals, without festivals going by. Echim Mishkachas, how does that happen? According to Rav Shimon Yochai, that's fine. Because Rav Shimon Yochai says the three festivals are only in their order. So I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday about the earliest time for Talis and Tefillin. So he said that Rabbi Willig is lenient. Because there are different ways how to calculate it. So Rabbi Willig's calculation is 12 degrees, so the earliest time today is already 6:10. 6:10 you could put on Talis and Tefillin, even though now it's 6:12. In Yerushalayim, if other calculations would be 6:17, but he said he's lenient to take the earlier one. Exactly. Well, yeah. So track 7 minutes. It goes by a minute a day. So tomorrow will be 6:11, Sunday will be 6:12. We'll still get into trouble pretty soon. You see, you go onto the roof and look, see if you can tell the difference between the blue and the white. If there's enough light outside to tell the difference between the blue and the white strings, then you're okay.
Right.
That's right. Hilni Amalka, Hilni's contribution. Okay, so again, going back, says the Gemara, Ella Shana below Regalim. But how do you have a year go by without festivals? Eich mishkachasla. So honey, lamanda ama lamanda isle kesidra mishkachasla. According to Rishon ben Yochai, that the three festivals have to be in their order. Yeah, you could have a year without having the three festivals in their order, because maybe you made the pledge before Shavuos, so the year is up, and you haven't yet had Pesach, and then Shavuos, and then Sukkos. Hitting you with you being obligated. Elamad, the less like a Sidron, but the one who doesn't say it has to be in order. Hey, Mishkachasla, how do you have that? Says the Gemara, Bishmal, Rabbi Mishkachasla. According to Rabbi, it can work out. Shana Mu'baris, a year like this, when you have a leap year. The Tanya is Linden Abraisa. In regards to the law of Batei Arechoma, the Torah says that if somebody sells a house within a walled city, he can redeem it only for a year, and after that year he doesn't have a right to forcibly redeem it. So there we have an argument. The Torah says a year. So Shana Tanima, this that it said a full year, Rabbi Omer Mona Shalosh Meyas V'Shishim Chamisha Yom, Kirinin Mosachama. Rabbi says you count 365 days. Regardless of whether or not it's a leap year, still count the 165 days. The Chacham say, no, Mona Shneimasar Chodesh Miyom Liyom. You count 12 months. In other words, if you sold it in Nisan, you wait till next year's Nisan. So Vim Nisabra Shana, and if the year ended up getting a leap year, it got an extra month, Nisabra Lo, then the seller has gained, and now he has 13 months to buy it back. So, according to Rabbi, now it can work out. Nishkachasla the Rabbi. According to Rebbe, you can have a year without yet having three festivals. Mishkachasla the Rebbe, Ziikdisha Basar Chagamatzos. Maybe he made it holy, let's say, in Pesach, on the 17th of Nisan. Tachimat Yishula Adar Basra. Now you already got two. The 28th of Adar Sheni. So now Shana Malyut, 365 days. It's a full year. And yet Regalim Lo Malyut, but you haven't yet had three festivals because you didn't have the full Pesach. You dedicated it on the 17th of Nisan. So you didn't have a full Pesach. So you had a year without three festivals. El Rabbanu, but the Rabbanu disagree. And they say the definition of a year is not 365 days. It's from this point to this point again next year. So Hechi Mishkachasla. How are they ever going to have a year without three festivals in it? Answer the Gemara. Kidatani Rav Shmaya. Rav Shmaya taught Atzeres Shavuos Pa'amim Chamisha. Sometimes it'll be on the 5th of Sivan. Sometimes Shisha, the 6th of Sivan. Pa'am Shiva, sometimes the 7th of Sivan. HaKetzad, how does this all work out? Shnei Emaleim. Let's say if both Nisan and Iyar are 30-day months. Hamisha, then Shavuos will be on the 5th of Sivan. Shnei and Chasen, if they're both 29-day months, Shiva, it'll be on the 7th of Sivan. Echad Malav, Echad Chaser. Shisha, it'll be on the 6th of Sivan. If so, you could have a situation where you have a year without three festivals. Let's say in year, the first year, Iyar and Sivan were 30-day months. So Shavuos was on the 5th of Sivan. And he pledged his karb on the next day, on the 6th of Sivan. But the next year, both Nisan and Iyar were small, were 29-day months. So the next year, Shavuos was on the 5th of Sivan. But it's not yet a year to his date. It wasn't yet a year to his date. So, you know, so it could be, right? It could, or the next year, the other way, right? Both Iyar and Nisan were 29, so Shavuos was day 7. So Shavuos was on day 7 the next year. So by the time it gets to day 6 of Sivan, that's already a year. But yet it hasn't been the three festivals. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to continue at this point tomorrow.